welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
All right. Well, we're going to delve right into the Word this morning, and we're going to start out in a passage in Psalm 23. You know, I think I might have just lost my... Oh, maybe just the delayed. Did you do that, Emily? You didn't? Okay. Boy, I've had quite a... Electronics today. My car. About once every 3 years, my car has this faulty security system, and I can turn the key, and I can just even feel it in my gut when I turn that key, and then the security light will just blink, and it's like it thinks I'm stealing the car. And so, no matter how hard I try or start the car, it just won't start for me. So, that was kind of the start of the day, and then we had some. Technical difficulties, but we are believing in the name of Jesus that electronics power and principality is broken. All right. We're going to be smooth sailing here. All right. Well, let's go ahead and delve into the Word this morning. Psalm 23. We're going to take a look at just the first few verses of this psalm in a few different translations. Psalm 23, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here it is in the Amplified. And I might need a little help back there. I'm not sure if this battery is... You did? Okay. So, all right. Did I do that or did you do that? You did that one? Okay. All right, well, kind of between us, we'll get it figured out here. The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still, restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and up in right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. And then finally, the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Praise God. I love this passage of Scripture. I can't tell you how many times I've just gone to it as just a wonderful reminder of the Lord our shepherd. You know, you look at the still waters, you know, that we see here in leads me beside the still waters. You know, you just think of that. Isn't that just cool? I mean, sometimes I'm coming through here on a Sunday morning or whenever, go by Ephraim and the water's just like glass. It's just so peaceful and calm and still. And that's the picture that's stirred up in our heart, that he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. The word still, free of sound, low in sound, comfortable, ease, free from disturbance, agitation, commotion, free from a noticeable current, still ponds, still waters. You know, there's times to be excited about God, jubilant, you know, celebratory, but there are times too when we need to be still. We need to get quiet before God. In fact, I love how the Scripture says in verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Being still before God is so powerful because a lot of times, you know, as we're living for God and we're praying and doing things and whatnot, we are communicating out. But those places and times of stillness are when God is wanting to communicate back to us too. And sometimes we get busy, even spiritually busy with stuff, to where we don't sometimes just stop and settle down and be still and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And there's good reason a lot of time too why that can be tricky, because we've got a lot of things that are going on in our life. And I'm just kind of talking as a Christian. I've been in your shoes. I understand what it's like to live for God and love God. And, you know, pretty soon as you're endeavoring to, when you first receive Christ, it's like, wow, it's amazing. God really loves me. He's for me. It's what the scripture calls your first love. I mean, you just haven't even, you know, you don't even know the Bible yet. All you know is God loves you. And it's an amazing place. And then as we live for God, endeavor to live for God, and we go through stuff and we have stuff happen and we're learning the Word and walking in the Word, seeing the exciting truth of God's Word, setting us free in some places, in some areas wondering what that means or why didn't something happen. And then all we kind of go through, we get some why God questions and we get some stuff that happens. And then pretty soon our life becomes about that financial issue or that relationship issue, or we're consumed with the issue. And all of a sudden, our relationship with God is a means to an end of resolving that issue. The issue is the center of our life. And we're glad we have God to help us through the issue, but the issue is the all in all. There's something about getting still and seeing Him as the Good Shepherd that kind of changes that whole paradigm. And it takes you back to that first love place where it's not like you didn't have any problems when you first received Christ. It's just that Christ was it. He was the center. He's the all in all. Yeah. The problems are just secondary. Yeah. And Jesus is the center. Yeah. And hey, I know how easy it is to slip into this. All right. Like I said, I'm just right there. And I know how it is easy to get consumed in the thing, in the issue. And this is where the Lord is just saying, you know, come alongside. No matter what the issue is, no matter what the problem is, you can lie down in the green pastures. And when He makes me to lie down, what is He really making you do? He's really making you put Him first place again. And that there's no issue that's bigger than Him and His love for you and that place that He has in your heart. There's a song that we sing that's kind of along these lines too, a little chorus that goes, "Hide me now under your wings. Cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you're king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. Know his power in quietness and trust. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you're king over the flood. I will be still and know that you are God." And so this morning, I really want to just talk along the lines of getting still, okay? Whatever it is that you're going through, no matter what it is, because again, we kind of get off on the issue and the thing, and we got to feel like until the thing is resolved, I got to get that done first before I can lie down in the green pastures. Now, we know better than that theologically, but we get worked up in our heart and our mind that before the peace and the joy and the still waters, I got to have conflict resolution. Then I'm going to have the peace and the still waters. The great revelation of joy that we get as we grow as believers is what Jesus did for us, is the fact that we don't have to have all that solved. The bottom line is this. Even if you are the slowest, hardest, headest Christian in the world, your reality is an eternity with Jesus Christ in the presence of Almighty God. And you are down here for a vapor. So, it's amazing. And we got to sometimes remember, take inventory of our existence, and remember what Jesus did for us, what He bought and paid for us, and what our eternity is ultimately like, and what it's going to be, that blessed hope. And to realize that, you know what? Yeah, we got problems. Jesus said in this world we'd have tribulation. So we know that's a given. He also said, "Take heart, I've overcome the world."
Yes, he did.
But praise God, we have got an ability to lie down in the middle of those problems. So we're just going to take a look at a few things. Again, this is just some stuff that's kind of helped me to kind of break through the noise and lie down in green pastures. So getting still. Again, we could almost subtitle it How to Lie Down. First thing is hit the release valve. When you're going through stuff, there's a pressure that's building up on the inside, mentally, emotionally, different things like that. And we have permission, actually, from the Lord to hit that release valve. And this is what the scripture says. Here's just a few release. I'll just call these release valve scriptures. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Let. It's almost like a letting. It's like a valve that you're just opening and letting it pass through. Okay? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. These are some letting scriptures, okay? And then finally, see, I think I had the... we'll close with those. Those are release valve scriptures. Now, if the issue that's inhibiting me from lying down does happen to be a bitterness issue, a wrath, anger, clamor, different things like that, I'm going to realize that, you know, in the same way, I don't get a good gooey feeling every time I'm believing something or ask or receive, you know, if I'm asking God, you know, forgiveness or cleansing, I don't have to have a warm, gooey feeling to know that I'm cleansed and forgiven. The scripture says he's faithful and just. He's faithful. So my trust is in his faithfulness. So here it says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. I don't need a feeling, a warm gush to come over me toward the person that I am dealing with that. You know what I'm doing? I'm lying down by faith, and I'm just saying, Lord, you know, in the name of Jesus, even as you have forgiven me, I forgive them. There's no conflict resolution here. There's no conflict. It's just a forgiveness. It's just a forgiving, even as. I'm remembering something that Christ forgave me. It's not just saying forgive. It's putting you back into a position of remembering as Christ forgave me. Okay, Lord, I'm just by faith, I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to lie down. And so if there's something bothering me that I know that I need to forgive, I'll just by faith forgive, and I'll step out. And typically, this is what I'll do. Because usually when you're dealing with this stuff, anxiety, you're not usually dealing with it in a place of, of prayer where you're deep in fellowship with God. It's stuff that's bugging you throughout the day. It's like a fog over your head and you can't concentrate and it's difficult. And what this green pasture scripture and what we want to talk about this morning is it's taking a time out. It's just saying, okay, pause. We're not going to... You guys ever see the old, I just thought of this, the old coyote and sheepdog cartoon where they would just, you know, the sheepdog's job is to guard the sheep and that coyote would do everything he could do to try to get those sheep. I mean, it was just crazy. He had amazing inventions and bombs and things like that. And that sheepdog, that shepherd would just faithfully protect those sheep, you know, from that. And they'd, you know, they were adversaries. But then all of a sudden, right, while the coyote just about had the sheepdog every way he could, a whistle would blow, like a work whistle. And then they'd kind of look at each other and walk off and punch the clock out, say, see you, Sam. See you, Joe. See you tomorrow. It's almost like they just take a time out. No conflict resolution, just, yep, that's time. You know, you can just take a time out from stuff. There's so much pride in things, and I got to get right, and even all that. Because, you know, when you fast something, let's say you're going to fast for a day or two, you're not waiting to be led about what you can and can't eat. You're fasting. It doesn't matter. how you feel. You just made a commitment. I'm not going to eat for X number of hours or days or whatever your fast is. Say, for that time, I'm not fasting. Doesn't matter. I'm just, when that's done, then I can eat again. You know, sometimes we need to fast some things. Fast those issues. Yep. I'm going on a fast. What about this? You know what? This week, we'll pick it up. We'll if I go there, I'm going there on Saturday, but I can't. I'm fasting that now. Can't pick it up until my day. I'm fasting. Time out. You know, there is an amazing story, and this is really true. It's something called the Christmas Truce. It says the first Christmas day of World War I, British and German troops put down their guns and celebrated peacefully together in no man's land between trenches. The war briefly came to a halt. In some places, festivities began when German troops lit candles on Christmas trees and on their parapets. That's kind of their walls where their bunkers were. So the British sentries and a few hundred yards away could see them. Elsewhere, the British acted first, starting bonfires and letting off rockets. Private Oswald Tilley of the London Rifle Brigade wrote to his parents, "Just you think that while you were eating your turkey, I was out talking and shaking hands with the very men I'd been trying to kill a few hours before." It was astounding. Both armies had received lots of comforts from home and felt generous and well-disposed toward their enemies in the first winter of the war, before the vast battles of attrition began in 1915, eventually claiming 10 million lives. All along the line, that Christmas day, soldiers found their enemies were very much like them and began asking why they should be trying to kill each other. The generals were shocked. High command diaries and statements expressed anxiety that if that sort of thing spread, it could sap the troops' will to fight. The soldiers in khaki and gray sang carols to each other, exchanged gifts of tobacco, jam, sausage, chocolate, liquor, traded names and addresses, and played soccer between the shell holes and barbed wire. They even paid mutual trench visits. This day is called the most famous truce in military history by British television producer Malcolm Brown and researcher Shirley Seaton in their book Christmas Truce. A powerful story, and that's a true story. You know, sometimes when we're looking to get still and to lie down in those green pastures, you know, you can just stop the war. Just stop it. All right? A lot of it, the reason it holds, it's our own pride and stubbornness and fear and different things like that, and say, nope, I am just going to lie down in some green pastures here for a while. I can choose to do that. Sometimes us as Christians and having to feel all spiritual and ooey and gooey and led, and really what it is, it's just a bunch of spiritualized emotional, you know, weakness and fear and pride. We're going to say, no, I'm not going to do it. I know what the Scripture says. What does the Scripture says? It says, let the bitterness. I have permission, don't I? I have permission to not have to be bitter. I have permission to be anxious for nothing, but to just let my request be made known unto God. I'm not looking for something. I'm doing my due diligence. You know, I'm on purpose doing what God has told me to do. The peace of God that passes my understanding, praise God, will guard my hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, so I can lie down even though I don't have the understanding of how what I just prayed for is going to work out. I've got peace. I can let the peace of God rule in my hearts. I can let the word of Christ dwell in me richly. So what are we talking about? We're talking about on purpose. We can do it. We have more control than what we realize. There could be somebody who you know, oh, you're mad or you're offended, and you go, oh, that's right, it's their birthday today. I got to be nice to them today. You can force yourself to be nice, can't you? It's not just beyond your control. It isn't. You can force yourself to be nice. It's actually being a grown-up. It's being mature. It's being saying, nope, I don't have to do that. And you know, in the middle of the noise, you can lie down in the green pastures. The enemy will make it sound like this long, arduous, complicated road back home, back to those green pastures. It's not. It's a decision to say, nope, I'm not going to. I'm going to let the peace of God rule. I'm going to, by faith, forgive. It doesn't mean that I'm probing for a feeling. But my life is not about forgiving that person. My life is not about this financial. My life is about Jesus and living for him and fellowshipping with him and talking with him and hanging out with him in the green pastures and still waters. That's all I want. That's all I want. And I don't have to lose that. There's no human being that can make me lose that. I can just enjoy. I can choose to enjoy him no matter what's going on around me, the bombs or whatever is going on. Even if I have to make a truce with my own selfishness. Say, Ed, you're going to stop your pouty little self, and you're going to go over, and you're just going to fellowship with the Lord and worship him and enjoy him. Praise God. I'm going to lie down in those green pastures, and my life is going to be about him and walking with him and living for him and loving him and listening to him. And oh, yeah, that thing over there, we'll have to see what he says about that. It's changing your focus. Changing your focus back to him. One of the things, all right, this is what Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What am I doing? I'm just coming unto him, finding rest for my souls. I love it. It says, those who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's his heart. For us to have rest. I mean, could you, we read that and it sounds really cool, but where does faith meet real life with that? If you're really heavy, if you're laboring, actively laboring and heavy laden with something, and you're going to find rest, you are going to have to give it over to him. You're going to have to set it down. It says, and then take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So the implied is you're laying one thing down and you're picking another thing up. His yoke. He's meek, lowly in heart, gentle, lowly in heart, safe place. He says, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So what am I doing? I'm just lying down in green pastures. I'm lying down in green pastures and I'm fellowshipping with the Lord. I'm just going back to that place. Because you know something? No matter who's done what to you, the Lord has never forsaken you. He's never wronged you. He's never been unfaithful to you. He's always loved you. He's always been there. Yes, human beings have free wills and people have done things to you. You've done things. I've done things. We've all been selfish. We've all missed it. That's why he keeps going back to the even as, remember. But to remember that, you know what? Jesus has never. He's only died for me. He's only lived for me. He's only ever lived to make intercession for me. I go back to how good Jesus has been to me. I go back to his faithfulness. Even if there's things I don't understand, even if I have my why God questions, I know he's faithful. I know he's true. I know he's for me. I know that. So I'm going back to that place. And I'm just taking a time out. Taking a time out. So the next thing you want to do is declare your trust in the Lord. I love, one of the great things that I just love reading the Psalms about and for is this right here. Declaring your trust in God. Okay? I'm going to take a timeout, truce from the junk, realize, get focused, recentered up on Jesus again. And while I'm doing that, declare your trust in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. It's kind of a good little wake-up call of remembering as we are coming down in the green pastures, as we're coming before our Lord Jesus Christ, that who it is that we're coming before. This is God Almighty. We need to remember that about God, that he is who he is, that there is just nothing. I'm coming before the King of all the earth, King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. You know, rightly so, in our New Testament Christian walk, we're redeemed back into the garden, into a personal, wonderful walk with God. We just got done talking about it. But that doesn't stop him from also being who he is in majesty and power and might. And to remember, that is the one who we are coming before. When I say, if God is for me, I'm talking about this God right here. I'm talking about the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Remind yourself of that. It'll help you in getting still. It'll help you in just letting go of some things. So declaring my trust in him. Here we have the story of Jesus. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, saying to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? Who can this be? Praise God. You know, that's who it is. That's the one who we're coming unto. That, you know who that is? That's the one who's meek and lowly in heart. That's the one whom you're bringing your heavy ladenness to. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your Lord. It's your Savior. It's remembering who you're coming to and declaring that my trust is in him. I'm lying down and I'm declaring my trust is in you, God. And these are good things to verbalize out loud, to hear yourself say it, not just think the theology of it, but to declare the reality of it, the truth of it. Again, great story of David doing this very thing. He said, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Pause. I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people who've set themselves against me all around. What did he do? You know, it's one thing when just one person sets themselves against you. That can be a lot to handle. You know, Jesus had people that would just go to him from village to village, trying to trap him in his words, looking, just searching. They're there not to hear or to be blessed. They're there maliciously to try to hurt and to try to undermine. And here you got David, people seeking his life. And what is he saying? He's crying to the Lord with his voice. He's really doing what we do in Philippians 4:6, letting our request be made known unto God. And then he laid down and slept, and he awoke. And he woke up well rested. You know, there's a real key right there too in spiritual rest is getting good physical rest, getting sleep. It's amazing how much less resisting of the enemy you have to do when you get a good night's sleep. Because you are a physical being, you know what I mean? And even though you have a mental and physical, that mental is dependent upon the physical side too. And you just get sleep deprived physically, you're just not sleeping, it'll affect your ability to think, to hold thoughts together. That can cause a restlessness. So here you got David, he's crying to the Lord. He laid down and slept, and he awoke. The Lord sustained him. He woke up well rested, said, I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. You know, there is power. And sometimes I've had, and I'm just telling on me, where I've had to make some decisions and disciplines in the natural to just help me to get my sleep. Just different things that I'll do in the natural way to help me to fall asleep. Because you can get in a pattern. I've gotten in the pattern. It's like, oh, then you got to get up early, and then you can kind of get off sync, and pretty soon you're edgy and different things like that. And sometimes the answer is just the stewardship of your body. It's not a scripture verse. It's taking care of your physical body, your health. That's part of a godly stewardship thing, is making sure you get good sleep, get good rest. I remember a story of our Bible school teacher. You know, he'd worked all day, but he was all excited. He was going to have this big devotion time with God, but he knew he had something going on in the morning. But, you know, and he was got his books out, and this is kind of before he had all the computer tools and all notebook and that, and he just was getting ready to go, and he just said the Lord spoke so clearly to him, and he said, put your Bible away, put your books away, put your notebook away, and get some sleep. And that was kind of the lesson learned for us that day. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is get your sleep. I really want to emphasize this. It's important. It is absolutely important. Can God sustain you if there's some times when you're crunched and you can't get a lot? Yeah, absolutely. But if it's day after day after day after day, then there's some things that you need to be aware of. Part of getting some good spiritual rest is making sure that you're getting good rest physically. But here you see David, he declared it. I won't be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. You're lying down in those green pastures and whatever that peripheral issue that is the all in all of your life, you're saying, I won't be afraid in the name of Jesus of 10,000s that set themselves against me all around. He's a shield for me. I'm not thinking about it. He's taking care of it. And my great revelation that I got of this that kind of helped peace with this, because when you're starting to think about all the things that can go wrong, especially fear. We live in just a fear energy world. especially now that you got all our mobile devices information. Wow, I didn't even think that could happen. And that's another thing I got to keep track of. But the great thing about a shield is the shield just does the work. And that's one thing where I got the revelation of shield. The word that came to my heart was bug guts. Bug guts. I know that's not a real enjoyable word on a Sunday morning, but when you're driving down the road, you don't have to worry about all those bugs flying in your eyes, in your ears, in your mouth. You got a shield for you. The shield does the work. You just drive down the road, not even thinking about it, not worrying about that bug or that bug or what that bug. You got a shield. And you're just going down the road, going to where you need to go. And you begin to live like that, and you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head. I'm not trying to keep a track of every little bug that could get in my eye or my nose. You're a shield for me. I'm not going to fear. I'm not going to be afraid of 10,000s of people that set them. So why? In David's mind, they're bug guts. He can do what God wants to do. If they're going to come at him, they're going to run into a shield. And it's not because David was agile. It's God's shield. God's just supernaturally, sovereignly watching over and protecting him while he's doing what God's told him to do. I'm lying down. It gets you out of that position again of trying to control, and I'm lying down, and as long as I'm here, I'm shielded, I'm protected, I'm looking at him. Praise God. And I'm declaring it. I'm declaring it. We'd call this the Rhema word of God, the spoken word of God. Not the logos, but the spoken word of God, where I'm declaring my trust in him. And Romans says this way, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribute. These are great things. These are great lying down, declaring your trust scriptures right here while you're lying down on the green pastures to keep your spirit settled. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, which also includes that big issue in your life. It's up there. That big issue is up there. You can see it up there. People. I mean, no created thing. I mean, principalities, the visible and the invisible. Life, death, nothing, distress, nakedness. Well, surely nakedness or peril or sword or famine or persecution. Nope. There's something that all those things up there can't do. They can't get in between you and your still water time, your green pasture time. They're not bigger than God's love for you. You can still lay down. And those are some big things up there, but they're not that big. They're not bigger than God's love. They can't get in between you and the love he has for you. But this is where I'm declaring that. I'm lying down because just because I'm lying down by faith and I'm taking a time out doesn't mean that, you know, the war stops as far as the enemy trying to come against you. But what you're doing is you're not over here, you're kind of on defense, but here you're lying down and you're actually on offense. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. And when you're declaring the word, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Faith is getting built up in your spirit. That word is feeding you, strengthening you, and you're lying down and getting fed. Praise God by the word of God. These things are true. These things, it's not just the emotional, it's not just the inspiration of these things. These things are true. And as you meditate on them, the truth of these things is what makes you free. You say, wow, that only not sounds awesome, but it's really true. Yes. Praise God. Yes. That's better than it sounding good. It's true. It's the truth that makes you free, not the inspiration of it. It's the truth. And only you can get that in your spirit. But when you listen and you begin to meditate, you say, wow, it's true. It's true in my situation too. Even my deal. It's true in my deal. Praise God. There's nothing like that. And finally, we're going to close with this. Let God fight for you. You've done what you can do at this point. You've taken your time out. You've called the truce. You're stepping away from the deal. You're declaring his love for you. And there are some amazing promises that we have in terms of God and his ability and desire to take up your cause. This is the story here, let's see, with Jehoshaphat, where he says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, which is what you've done. You've positioned yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Praise God. A picture of the Lord will fight for you. Of course, we know the story of Moses. Said to the people, don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Think of that. 400 plus years in bondage. I mean, I don't know how long you've been in bondage to some things, but it kind of gets into your head and your mind and your identity and all that kind of stuff. And you say, it's all going to be gone now. You'll never, ever see him again because of what the Lord is going to do for you. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward, but lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Praise God. You know, it's going to, and you're lying down in the green pastures thinking, wow, this is going to take a supernatural thing to get through this one. Praise God. You're in good position. He's like, finally, you're out of the way where he can do something. Why do you have to get out of the way? Because if you didn't get out of the way, you're going to take glory and credit for what you just did over here. When you're down here, lying down, crying to the Lord as you trust, supernatural things happen. When they do happen, you go, wow, that wasn't me. That's why he gets you here first. He positions you where your trust is in him and you're looking at him and it's not leaning to your own understanding and your quick wit and all that stuff. It's just, wow, thank you, Jesus. This is how he wants me to live. Trusting him, looking to him. And scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. He who comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Message, impossible to please God apart from faith. Why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. That's really a good way of putting believing that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know he cares enough to respond to you as you're seeking him. You know, and that's really what you're doing in that lying down, trusting, getting still position. And then finally, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. When you're lying down, you are sowing to the Spirit. When you're coming out from the noise and just by faith, saying, okay, Father God, my trust is in you, declaring your trust. You are sowing to the Spirit. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Stay in that place. Stay in that place of trust. Stay in that place of peace. Stay in that place where it's all about Jesus and fellowshipping with him. And he is center stage, and that thing is no longer center stage. Jesus, you're center stage. You're my good shepherd. All that other stuff is heavy ladenness that I've put down at his feet. And I'm lying down and I'm looking to him and I'm declaring my trust in him. And I know that behind the scenes, he's doing what I couldn't do over here. I know and I'm trusting for him to fight my battles. That's part of what that shield does. He's taking care of business. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. God will do supernatural stuff when you begin to do your part and you position yourself and put yourself in his trust. So getting still, one of the things that we can do is we can hit the release valve. We can let the pressure out. We can just on purpose say, hey, wait, time out. My whole Christian experience in life is not down here to fight that battle or that person or that situation. I'm down here to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Getting Jesus front and center, and not, I'm not going to let that thing or that financial situation or that person rob my sweet green pasture fellowship with Jesus. I'm not going to let it rob it anymore. My life is bigger than that thing. My life is about loving you, living for you, Jesus, and with you, praise God, overcoming that thing, declaring my trust. I'm believing, declaring my trust in his promises, the promises of his word, and his past blessings too. That's a good place while you're lying down there to count your blessings and remember how he's come through for you and he's been faithful in your life. And then finally, just let God fight for you. That's the part where you are letting him do his thing. And it's amazing how he'll do his thing. And when he's doing his thing, part of the thing that he does, he's going to do in you while you're lying down there. And you'll get up from that green pasture and say, wow, doesn't hurt anymore. He can heal a broken heart while you're just lying down and looking up. and declaring your trust in Him. But a lot of things that we need to do in our big issues of life, first things first, just get still. Go back to those green pastures and still waters. Let Him, He makes you to lie down. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is going to lead you to do things that are going to cause you to begin to lie down and just look to Him. Well, Father God, we just thank You this morning. We thank You, Father, that we can get still before You, that whatever it is that we're going through, our life is not about that thing or that issue. Our life is about You, Jesus. Our life is about following after You, just fellowshipping with You, coming to the garden, enjoying the joy of our salvation. Where the joy of being able to share our heart, the joy of being able to just know You, to love You, to just allow You into our day. Father, I just pray for each one here this morning. I pray, Lord, that if there's any issue that has taken any one of us out of those green pastures, that we learn to take a time out from that thing and just on purpose, not feel like we got to solve it and fix it before we can lie down, but just by faith say no. If I need to forgive, I by faith forgive. By faith cast my care. By faith let my request be made known unto You. This is not complicated. I'll do what I know to do, but then I'm just going to lie down in those green pastures. And I'm going to look up, Jesus. You are meek. You are lowly in heart. You are kind. Your wisdom is pure and peaceable and gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality. It's without hypocrisy. And You sow it in peace. I just look up. We look up to that wisdom, to that grace. And we just find the joy of fellowshipping with You. And that we can fellowship with You. And that You're a shield for us. You're our glory and the lift of our head. So we do that this morning, Lord. We just return to those green pastures and those still waters. Minister to Your precious people this morning. We thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God.